Good evening. Please, will you silence your cell phones at this time? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Peggy Hinckley, superintendent of the Metropolitan School District of Warren Township. On behalf of the Board of Education and our Warren community, I would like to welcome you to Creston Intermediate Academy Middle School for the first ever State of Education address by our state superintendent of public instruction, Dr. Tony Bennett. My thanks to everyone in Warren who helped make tonight possible. I want to remind everyone that you are invited to a reception that will follow this event in the room across from this auditorium for light refreshments and appetizers. Now I would like to introduce William Zhao. Mr. Zhao was the 2010 valedictorian of Kokomo High School and is a Herman B. Wells Scholar at Indiana University. In addition to being a part of and a leader within 12 organizations at his young age, he is the founder of the Moringa Solution, which promotes moringa plants as a solution to alleviate hunger in third world countries. Mr. Zhao is the author of Fierce Urgency, Education and Future Global Competition Through the Eyes of a Young Chinese Immigrant, which he was inspired to write after hearing Dr. Bennett speak at an event. He is the success story of public education. Please welcome William Zhao.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Hinckley, for the kind remarks and the introduction. And thank you, Creston Middle School, for hosting this great event tonight. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank everyone for being here tonight with us and being activists for a brighter future in Indiana education. You know, people often ask me how I first met Dr. Bennett. They usually heard him speaking about me and my book, Fierce Urgency, during one of the many events he does to reach out to fellow Hoosiers. But the truth is, like many of you, I met him during one of those events. Because in 2009, I believe, Dr. Bennett was a guest speaker at the Indiana State Leadership Conference for the Future Business Leaders of America. And at the time, I was a junior in high school. And like all teenagers, before he spoke, I thought, oh, great, it's another boring and cliche talk by another politician. But I was proven wrong. Because Dr. Bennett here, unlike many others, he did not preach the success of the status quo. Instead, he honestly told us that we needed to reform in order to make our education better and make it more successful and more competitive. And he urgently alerted us, the students, of young people in countries like China and India who are eager to compete and succeed. And he genuinely wanted us to think globally and have a global perspective because we are living in the 21st century. So as I was listening to his talk, I suddenly realized that there is someone out there who truly cares about students like me and our future, because this man is someone who is honest about our current conditions and is willing and is committed and is prepared to make the hard but the noble decision of reform. And because of his talk, I was inspired to write my book and to share the details of my past as I lived and experienced education in countries like China, Canada, and United States. And it gave me great hope about my future and our future, because our superintendent of public instruction is someone who has a global perspective and is willing to do everything he can to make our education system better. And I shared this view with Dr. Bennett when he came back in 2010 and spoke during the State Leadership Conference. So Indiana, if you sense the fierce urgency that I sense, if you believe in the positive changes that I believe, and if you feel the hopes that I feel for a better and brighter day in Indiana education, would you please join me in giving a warm welcome to my friend, the Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. Tony Bennett.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was very kind. Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow, William, I think we can all go home. Good evening, students, parents, educators, fellow Hoosiers. I would also like to thank the students, the staff, the principal here at Creston Middle School for hosting us this evening. And I would like to thank a person that I consider to be one of the best, Dr. Peggy Hinckley, the superintendent here at Warren Township Schools, and my good friend, William Zhao, for their incredible introductions. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we gather for this first ever State of Education address. And as we do, I'm already thinking about tomorrow. And I'm excited to share with you the thoughts I have regarding the status and direction for education here in Indiana. Tonight, we'll take a look at generations past and their efforts to educate Hoosier children better. We'll acknowledge the progress we've made. We'll identify the challenges facing this generation of Hoosier children and educators, and we'll look ahead at what it'll take to overcome those challenges for this and future generations. You know, these are exciting times for education. Think about it. Never before has a bipartisan group of national and state leaders so rapidly come together with such resolve in order that we can comprehensively reform our system of schools. And over the past several months, we've heard many prominent national leaders, one, Arne Duncan, say civil rights and the education issue are intertwined, that education is the civil rights issue of our generation. I want to take it a step further. As we examine our state and our nation's decade-long quest to provide equal educational opportunities for all students, ladies and gentlemen, it's clear to me that education isn't just the civil rights issue of our generation, it's the civil rights issue for every generation. This reality has never been more evident to me than during our visits to Indiana's chronically low-performing schools, where many students come from low-income and/or minority households. Now, there are some exceptional educators in these schools, but research tells us these students, low-income and minority students, are least likely to have great teachers and great leaders in their schools. But I believe all students, especially those most vulnerable, deserve better. That's why I wake up every morning thinking about how we can reform education, improve instruction, and turn around our lowest performing schools for the betterment of our children. And while it's true we've made some progress on these issues, there's still much, much more to do before children have the opportunities they need and deserve to lead us to a brighter future. The bottom line's this: we have to do what's right for kids. Academic excellence can and should be the norm for all children. It should not be the exception. And achieving excellence means we must first set very high expectations. So let's talk about expectations. In the last year and a half, we've raised the bar on student achievement and the expectations for student achievement and endorsed a statewide culture of academic excellence. It's a culture that insists that at least 90% of our students pass the English language arts and math portions of the iStep Plus exam and into course assessments. It's a culture that demands that 25% of our students pass an advanced placement International Baccalaureate exam, or earn college credit during high school. And finally, it's a culture that says no less than 90% of our students should graduate from high school on time and prepared for college and careers. During my time as superintendent, two things have become very clear to me. First, no more time for excuses, folks. The stakes are too high to put the desires of adults in front of the needs of our children. And two, our children can meet and exceed the high expectations we set for them. So as schools work to provide more rigorous instruction, and our students are making impressive gains, we have to double down on our efforts for Indiana's children. We have to ask ourselves if an education system that was created decades ago is the right education system to deliver instruction to the children of a digital age. And we must open the door for equal educational opportunities for each and every child. See my friend John Hammond here, because others have gone before us to take up this worthy cause. John was part of a bipartisan group, along with Governor Orr and then Superintendent H. Dean Evans, that put together an education reform package we all know as A+. Superintendent Evans and Governor Orr noted that we were involved in a very changing economy in the late 1980s, and they insisted that our schools keep pace with that economy. The A+ goals mirror many of our current efforts. First, to increase student achievement. Second, require accountability. Third, promote excellence in teaching and school leadership. Fourth, create more and better educational opportunities for all our children. And finally, to fund our schools more effectively. The A+ plan was considered bold for its time. Many of the proposals were dismissed as too much, too fast, and those that were implemented were shamefully eroded over time. But ladies and gentlemen, we have another chance today. And it's time we put students first and implement needed reforms on their behalf. Make no mistakes, we face challenges. Our economy's one. But as we confront an uncertain and rapidly changing American economy, we must accept the fact that more money is not the answer to the problems challenging our schools. In fact, student achievement's been stagnant, even though education spending has doubled since the 1970s. And the truth is, Indiana schools are in better shape than many states across the country that have cut as much as 18% from their education budgets. Think about this. After increasing school funding by $2.7 billion, between 1995 and 2009, Indiana schools only saw a modest decrease last year because Governor Daniels and our courageous legislators, many of whom are here tonight, made funding education a top priority. And this recession has impacted many functions in state government, make no mistake. But I'm proud to say, it's also given local school leaders the opportunity to reconsider the way they conduct business. I'm very happy to tell you most schools are responding with a students first attitude. As I've traveled around the state, I can't believe how many schools are competing to attract students. School districts are advertising academic performance, course offerings to encourage families to transfer into their school district. In LaPorte County, South Central Community School Superintendent Christopher Smith, Chris is here with us this evening, send school buses into other districts at no cost to those families to pick up students who want to transfer to his schools and take advantage of their academics. Now, what are we, Chris? A little over 125 now. Other school corporations, like Evansville, Vanderburg County Schools, are consolidating programs and streamlining purchasing practices. Another example, Fort Wayne Community Schools recently outsourced custodial services, and they did this to realize a $4.4 million annual savings. $4.4 million. That's enough to cover 80 teaching jobs in Fort Wayne. Corporations in New Harmony, Portage, and Knightstown have all switched to the state's health care plan. Portage Schools, for example, saved over $1 million. That's enough to fund 20 teaching jobs. And we have a recent study that illustrates that if more schools made this move statewide, we could save over $450 million annually. Equally impressive are the teachers and administrators who have given up pay raises and benefits. Schools in Highland, Fishers, Elkhart, Huntington, and many others have made these selfless moves and put children first. This teaches us a lot, folks. It really does. These schools teach us that instead of trying to figure out how to get more money for education, schools across our state are using innovative measures to get more education for our money. We should follow their example. And while we're at it, we should make sure we direct the resources we do have directly to the classroom so they impact student learning. Not that you need it, but if you do need more proof that money isn't the answer, consider this. We had 14 consecutive years of funding increases in Indiana. During those 14 years, academic gains were stagnant, very small. Now, when money has been its tightest, our students have seen some of the biggest improvements in this state's history. For example, we increased high school graduation rates by 3.7% last year. I have another example. We've increased participation in dual credit and advanced placement coursework. I want to highlight Eric Band, the principal at Crown Point High School, who's here with us this evening. Dr. Band worked with state universities to provide students more affordable access to dual credit and advanced placement opportunities. The results at Crown Point have been remarkable, and Eric, thank you for that. Last year, 64% of Crown Point High School graduates left high school earning advanced placement or dual credit. Great job, Eric. To this end, I'll work with Commissioner Lubbers, who's sitting right here with us tonight, from the Commission of Higher Education, and I'll work with the Commission for Higher Education to change the dual credit and dual enrollment policies to really reflect a students first approach. Need to say, of all things, I'm incredibly proud of Indiana students for their performance on this year's ISTEP examination. Our students attained one of the largest ever increases in ISTEP scores across all subject areas and all grade levels. Across the board, in urban schools, in rural schools, high poverty, high minority schools, our students performed better last year. Some far exceeded our high expectations. Peggy, students right here in Warren Township, gained 8% on both English language arts and math portions of the ISTEP. Thanks for your incredible instructional leadership. I want to talk about two Warren Township schools in particular, Sunny Heights and Brookview Elementary. They reduced the achievement gap between black and white students by over 15% in students passing both English language arts and math. Great job to those two elementary schools. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to mention a school up in East Chicago, Carrie Gosch Elementary School. Carrie Gosch is a Title I school where nearly 100% of the students qualify for free lunch and they come from minority households. This school realized a 32% jump in students passing the I-STEP examination, 32%, and they did it by making instruction personal. Teachers invested more time. Students invested more time. They came in on Saturdays, and teachers worked with students who needed remediation. These great educators remind us, folks, they remind us of something very important. If we put students first, every child can and will learn. And we have Principal Bruce Hall from Woodland Elementary here this evening. Bruce led his teachers and students to close the achievement gap at Woodland Elementary by 37%. Principal Hall credits his students. He also credits a strategic planning effort. And he credits his staff's overall awareness level that all students can and deserve a chance to succeed. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, with all of these examples, from Woodland to Crown Point, everywhere, I ask you to please join me in celebrating these successes. In just 19 months, Indiana, right here, Indiana has distinguished itself as a national leader in education reform by implementing an aggressive student-centered agenda. To ensure that all our students are held to the highest academic standard, Indiana joined a consortium of states in adopting the Common Core State Standards. In today's world, where so many students move across district lines or even state lines, it just makes sense that our students are exposed to a thorough set of standards that provide them the necessary skills to be successful in the future. These standards, focused on college and career readiness, enable all of our students to move through our system prepared for college and careers, and we're happy to be part of that consortium. Now, these standards serve as a guideline for our success, and make no mistake, it'll be up to our great educators to decide how to best deliver the instruction. To aid teachers in their planning, the Department of Education has developed new tools to help teachers scope and sequence instruction in order that students have the necessary skills to master these standards. As we offer new supports to Indiana's teachers, we've also kept a watchful eye on how to achieve better outcomes for our children. Therefore, we improved the way teachers were licensed in Indiana. Our new teacher licensing rules demand that educators master the subjects they teach. And it makes it easier for career changers to enter into the education profession, thus expanding the pool of talented individuals to serve Indiana students. The new rules also reduce the financial burdens on our teachers. One, they can forego costly college coursework to renew their licenses. They can also add specialty content area certification by taking rigorous examinations. So far, more than 600 teachers have taken advantage of our new rules to add specialty certification areas to their licenses. And finally, adopting the Common Core State Standards also created for us an opportunity to take teacher licensing to a new level. And it did so by allowing us to establish rigorous teacher education standards. This effort will make Indiana the first state in the nation to align educator preparation standards with the Common Core State Standards. We know teachers make the biggest difference in student successes, and these new teacher standards will lead to improved achievement for all of our children. As I mentioned, some of our legislators are with us this evening, and we need to understand some reforms can only happen with decisive action from the Indiana General Assembly. I want to recognize our legislators who joined us implementing strong reforms, like the reform that provided teachers immunity from lawsuits for using reasonable discipline to maintain classroom order. Thank you. They also took a strong stand against social promotion. They did something that really needed to be done for many, many years, is they are going to make sure that all students have the ability to read at grade level when they leave third grade. And the Department of Education is going to facilitate that legislation by closely working with a group of opportunity schools to implement a new world-class reading framework that will expand to elementary schools statewide. Again, legislators, thank you for your courage and your vision. Next, we've taken care to implement strong accountability measures to match our strong reforms. And we know this, for accountability to be effective, it must be fair, it must be transparent, and it must be easy for everyone to understand. To increase transparency, we are changing the names of those unclear state accountability categories. Those names like academic probation, academic progress, academic watch, and we're changing those names to grade schools just like we grade Indiana's children, A through F. Everyone knows what a letter grade means. So parents and other concerned citizens will be able to both celebrate school successes and hold schools more accountable. This system, like I said, allows great schools to be recognized. Great schools like we have right here in Warren Township, Peggy. Likewise, if a school's failing, parents will know and will demand more for their children. When we achieve that level of transparency, healthy competition will lead to better outcomes for all of Indiana students. As we talk about accountability, let's keep in mind, Indiana's accountability law, Public Law 221, is finally being put to the test 11 years after it became law. Our state's chronically underperforming schools have been identified, and they're now being charged with implementing transformational change for the children in those schools. And you know what, folks? I say it's about time, and I hope you do too. Far too many years passed when our most vulnerable students were silently condemned to these schools without recourse, while hundreds of millions of hard-earned taxpayer dollars were spent with minimal or no results. I believe these students should never be forgotten, and that's why I promise to aggressively pursue reforms in these low-achieving schools. I've met individually with the leadership in each of the 10 school corporations that are home to these lowest-achieving schools. Now listen closely. In some cases, numbers like 60% or 75% were used by administrators to describe the percentage of ineffective teachers in those schools. More shocking to me, more troublesome to me, is the fact that many of these administrators had failed to engage in rigorous annual evaluations of these teachers, and if they did, they failed to take appropriate actions when the teachers were found to be ineffective. My duty as superintendent is to recommend any and all steps that are necessary to turn around these low-performing schools for these students. To address this issue, legislators, we're going to bring bold proposals, aggressive proposals, to the General Assembly in months ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, our biggest accomplishment in the eyes of many educators and parents is Indiana's new growth model. It's the game changer in education for our state, and it underlies many of the initiatives our department and our state will follow. It lets us look beyond test scores to examine how much students actually learn in a school year. The model is based on the fundamental belief that all children, regardless of their achievement level when they enter a classroom, are entitled to at least 1 year of growth in 1 year of instruction. Think about that. 1 year of growth in 1 year of instruction, regardless of whether students are high ability, English language learners, minorities, special ed, or low income, every child deserves the opportunity to learn right alongside their academic peers. And the growth model provides us an avenue for no more excuses. To that end, the growth model will drive our efforts to close the achievement gap. In the old pass, do not pass system, many educators focused on those students who were just below the bar. And they did so because teacher and school success was really measured solely by how many students got over the passing bar. With the growth model, teachers and schools will get credit for students who achieve a year's growth in a year's instruction, even if some of those students are still unable to pass the I-STEP exam. And besides measuring student growth year over year, the growth model also serves as a foundation for three very necessary initiatives that the Indiana Department of Education will pursue this year. One, it provides a framework for a fair and rigorous system of annual teacher and administrator evaluations. Two, it enables us to implement performance-based decision-making inside our schools and school corporations. And three, it allows us to create fair and appropriate measurements for assigning those very important A through F letter grades to Indiana schools. The growth model also ushers in a new era of transparency. Soon, teachers and parents of students in grades 3 through 8 will have access to the most current student growth data on a website called the Learning Connection. That means teachers can review student growth history, and parents can start asking questions about their individual child's academic growth. Next fall, parents will be able to see the growth history for their child's teacher, so they will be able to see how that adult has been helping students grow academically. What a powerful tool that is for parents. I encourage all of our teachers and all of our parents to reach out to school administrators. Encourage your school corporations to get Learning Connection access today. Indiana's recent accomplishments have really created momentum to propel us forward. As we look at where we are, because our students deserve it, we're prepared to close the door on a system that too often perpetuates the status quo. We must close the door on a system that allows 23,000 Hoosier students to drop out of high school each year. We must close the door on a system that allows 25,000 third graders to advance to fourth grade without being able to read at third grade level. And we must close the door on a system that perpetuates a persistent and growing achievement gap. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to take us doing more than tinkering with business as usual in Indiana schools. Talk about that achievement gap for a minute. Today, twice as many Black and Hispanic students fail to graduate from high school when we compare them to their white peers. I'm going to really give you something a little mind-boggling here, so follow me. In grade 3, over 20% more white students pass the English language arts portion of the I-STEP examination than do Black students. Here's the mind-boggling part. By grade 8, that gap widens to 30%. Think about that. Over time, the students who need to grow the most to keep up with their academic peers actually learn less. Imagine how this is to the over 170,000 students attending those chronically underperforming schools. Educators who use data to drive individualized instruction will be able to put an end to this downward trend. They'll put an end to allowing that achievement gap to persist between our black students and white students. Teachers and leaders in schools like Sunny Heights, Brookview, Caringosh, and Woodland, they're already doing that. And their students are benefiting from those efforts. Indiana's growth model is available to all schools at no cost, and I hope schools will begin using that data right away. Now, to give every student the best chance for success, we must offer families an array of outstanding educational opportunities. This includes virtual, hybrid, project-based learning, and other innovative school models. Children shouldn't be forced to conform to the environment at the school they are supposed to attend based on their zip code. We must make sure all families, no matter of their address, their income level, or their skin color, have great options for their children. See my good friend and great leader, school leader here tonight, Marcus Robinson. I'm talking about options like Charles A. Tinley Accelerated School right here in Indianapolis, where a majority of Marcus's students come from low-income and/or minority households. But the energetic Mr. Robinson and his staff have high expectations for every student at Tinley. It's a school with rigorous standards, a no-excuses culture, and a committed leader who holds everyone, including himself, accountable. Marcus, thank you. On the other hand, Tinley students commit to a longer school day and a longer school year. For their efforts, they can earn up to what, Marcus? 2 years of college credit at no tuition cost. Now, I believe if we offer all students options like those at Tinley, our students will choose success and they will graduate well prepared for college and careers. So the onus must be on schools to meet the needs of their customers. And their customers are the students. William, I'm going to act with your fierce urgency. I'll exercise my authority as superintendent to ensure those students who are most marginalized by our society receive the education they deserve to have future success. Also, we'll collaborate with our other state leaders to ensure that another generation isn't lost in Indiana's failing schools. No proposal that's built on facts and is built for the students, on behalf of the students, will be considered too radical to solve this problem. Everywhere I go, people say, well, what about parents? What about our parents? What do we expect of parents? Parents, we must actively participate in our children's educational process. We must be unapologetic advocates for our children's best interests. But parents, we must also take responsibility for their attendance, their preparation, and their commitment to learn.